Hello, hey, good morning, everyone. Sorry, we're a minute late. Had some technical difficulty. I hope you're having a great morning. And so, just to give you a little overview this week, I'll be teaching here in the Book of Psalm. And then we're actually going to take a break from the Book of Psalm for the period of Lent. Lent starts tomorrow with Ash Wednesday. And so our house church leaders will be leading, and we'll be going through the One campaign with all the churches in Hong Kong, especially churches around the world as well this year, a very special time. And so please download the app, get yourself ready for all these awesome teachings done by our house church leaders. And there's like even a video that's being played. So that will start tomorrow, and that will take us all the way to Easter. Okay, so you won't be hearing from me for a while, but even better, you'll be hearing from your peers and your leaders. And so please continue to come and support each of them, and really grow and learn. I think it's gonna be a really, really special time. And if you're inclined to, traditionally Lent is a time of fasting. It's a time of drawing close to Lord. I know we just went through a fast, but you can do some sort of fasting to prepare us for the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think it's gonna be a really, really wonderful time. So download the app, get those things ready, and then follow us in the morning. So I'm really looking forward to it. It'll start tomorrow morning. Okay. All right. So today we're doing the last psalm for a while, and it's Psalm 17. Psalm 17. This is a really a great psalm about our trust in God, really our lack of confidence in ourselves, and really just our hope in the Lord. And so we don't really know exactly what the situation was in David's life. I'm going to take a guess later on. But it's really a prayer of David, a prayer of protection. So let's read this, Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes look with equity. Thou hast tried my heart. Thou hast visited me by night. Thou hast tested me and dost find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt answer me, O God. Thy incline thine ears to me. Hear my speech. Wondrously show thy loving kindness. O Savior of those who take refuge at thy right hand, from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me, they have closed their unfeeling heart with their mouth. They speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. He is like a lion that is eager to tear, and as a young lion lurking in hiding places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with thy sword, from men with thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life, and whose belly thou dost fill with thy treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Amen. Okay. If we take a look at this, we're gonna just start breaking this down a little bit. And he starts off this psalm, and he says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord." Really, really simple beginning. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Hear a just cause. You know, as is common in most of the psalms, David prayed from a time of crisis, and he's going through here. And that's primarily most of David's psalms originate from this place. And he begins to appeal to God by declaring the justice of his cause. He believed God should answer his cry because he believed that his cause was just before the Lord. Now, you have to think about this. It's entirely possible for someone to think that his cause is just when they're not. It's true. It is very possible that that happens. If you're in a conflict with someone, you both know both people feel that they're right. I mean, I break up conflicts with my kids all the time. And I have conflict. I have arguments with my wife. And the issue is we both feel like we're right, that we're in the right in these situations. And then it takes some convincing. It takes some healthy argument. Or sometimes it just takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit to recognize that we were wrong in this way. And so we can't automatically apply these words to our own lives. You know, Lord, hear my cry, because my cries are just. And so so we with a little grain of salt in this way. And it says, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. When he's offering this, you know, hear just cry, he's asking the Lord, search my heart. It reminds us of Psalm 139, search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me. And so he's saying, basically, test me, Lord. You know, look at my heart, look at my situation, and see if it's just in that way. And the reality is, Lord, give ear to my prayer right now, because it doesn't come from deceitful lips. Now, this is a huge mistake that many of us make, because when we're trying to make our case against someone or in a situation, you have to realize our sinfulness really creates in us a pathway where we share a very biased narrative. I've had this happen. A married couple, one of them will come talk to me, and this person will say, oh, Peace Sam, can you pray for me? Can you help me? You know, my wife is, you know, doing this, you know, and I'm like, what? She did what? I can't believe this. Are you kidding me? You know, and so then I have a conversation with the wife, and I say, hey, so what's going on? You know, da da da. And then the wife will say, well, you know, this happened and this happened. And I'd be like, what? What? He did what? You know what I mean? And everyone has their own narrative, and it's so biased. And in that way, it's what he's talking about. They are deceitful lips in that way. You know, for David's cause, even though David was convinced regarding the justice of his cause, you know, he was also careful to speak honestly about his situation. If we're really being honest, most of us, we don't do that. We play a certain narrative that makes us look good and makes the other person look bad. And David says, Lord, my plea, my circumstance does not come from deceitful lips. You know, David, he was not deceiving anybody. He was not withholding facts, you know, that would undermine his cause. And we tend to do that. And so he continues on and says, Lord, let my judgment come from your presence. David, he didn't want, the word judgment really is the word vindication. David didn't want vindication to come from himself. Now, most likely this is dealing with his struggle with King Saul. And you know, David had several opportunities to set things right before the Lord, but he refused, you know, and he waited until vindication came from the presence of God. Even his general said, strike him. And he says, no, I will not, because his judgment could not come from his own hand. His judgment can only come from the Lord. And that's when you have vindication. And so vindication comes from his presence. In other words, he wants to know that this was his work, right? God's work, not his own work in this way. And so he says, let your eyes look with equity. You know, David phrased this request in a way that put more emphasis on God's justice than on his own cause. Now, he did believe his cause was just, But he spoke in a manner that gave more importance to the things that were upright, to the things of God. You know, David's idea was kind of like this: Lord, I believe my cause is just, and I've searched my own heart for deceit, yet I will wait for your vindication, and I want you to do and to promote what is right. If I'm not on your side, move me so that I am. It was a really honest, honest prayer that many of us should pray, actually, in these situations. And then he continues on. And remember, first, he invites the Lord to try him, you know, hear his cause. He invites him. And now he's come to the conclusion that it's happened. And so, you know, the simple idea says, you have tried my heart. David invited the test in the previous verses. And he speaks of now having passed the test. You have tried me and have found nothing. It takes some level of patience and maturity to let God test one's heart in this manner. Because, you know, we must accept the fact that we might be wrong and that someone else may be right in this matter. We must be more interested in God's justice and his standard of right and wrong than we are in winning our cause. We must come to God and his word with a heart ready to be convicted and to be corrected. And he says, and that's what he says. And he continues on and says, I purpose that my mouth will not transgress. David was careful not to speak in a sinful way about his crisis. Just right what we talked about before, he could speak in a way that might deceive others or himself and promote his own cause, but he doesn't do that. He purposed that this would not happen. And he says, my steps have held fast to thy paths. My feet have not slipped. And David felt that really he was in danger of falling or slipping into disaster. And he needed God to hold his steps so that his footsteps may not slip. And it was important. The word of God affords us direction. But really, it's the grace of God that must enable us to follow its direction. And that grace must be obtained by the place of prayer. And so that's what he turns to. He says, Lord, I have called upon you, and for you will answer me. David's calm confidence in the midst of crisis is very encouraging. Though his problems were not yet gone, he still was confident that God would hear when he called. And he calls this, I love this, he calls this, he says, wondrously show thy loving kindness. Now, this is the first appearance in the book of Psalms of the wonderful word loving kindness. You've heard me talk about this. This is the hesed. This is probably the word that best defines the relationship with God, the covenant relationship with God and the people of Israel. When they were making the King James, it was very difficult to translate this word. So they created the word loving kindness in the English language to describe this chesed in the Old Testament. And David asks that this special love be shown to him by the power of God, by his right hand. And he says this, and this is really a really interesting passage. He says, keep me as the apple of the eye, or the apple of your eye. And this particular phrase was used to describe something very precious, but also something that was easily injured and demanded protection. Okay. So to the Jews, the apple of the eye was something very precious, but also something that was very easily injured and demanding protection. David wanted to be kept by God as if he were something valuable, even fragile. Let me read you this quote from Charles Spurgeon in his commentary on this. And he says, no part of the body more precious, more tender, and more carefully guarded than the eye. And of the eye, no portion more peculiarly to be protected than the central apple, the pupil, or as the Hebrews call it, the daughter of the eye. The all-wise creator has placed the eye in a well-protected position. It stands surrounded by projecting bones, like Jerusalem, encircled by mountains. Moreover, its great author has surrounded it with many tunics of inward covering, besides the hedge of the eyebrows, the curtain of the eyelids, and the fence of the eyelashes. In addition to this, he has given to every man so high a value for his eyes and so quick an apprehension of danger that no member of the body is more faithfully cared than the organ of sight. And to be honest, until I read Spurgeon, I didn't realize, you know, it's true. I mean, our eyes are covered by the bone that surrounds it, that covers and embeds it. You know, we have our eyelashes, we have our eyebrows, so the sweat that doesn't come in. We have our eyelids that instantly protect us, you know, and then we have a covering over, and I realized, oh yeah, it is something very fragile, but something so precious. Brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You are so precious before the Lord. You are the apple of his eye. But you're also very easily injured and you need protection. And this is why we pray for these things. The phrase apple of your eye, you know, another way of looking at it as well is that if you really want to see the center of the eye, you actually have to be so close. If you ever look in the mirror, you see the reflection. It has to be because you're so close in that way. And so it's, you know, it's pretty amazing, you know, to think of that way. In other words, when he really looks at us, you know, and we're the apple of his eye, he's so close to us and like kind of staring at us, you know, in love. And I mean, I think it's something so precious. Just think of like parents, you know, of newborn infants. And the way they just get close and just stare at their baby is so full of love. It's something so precious, but also something that's so fragile and that demands protection. And that's what it's like. That's how God sees us. And so he says, hide me in the shadow of your wings. This is another powerful figure of speech that's used. And this is the picture of a mother bird that shields her young chicks from the predators and from the elements around and dangers. This figure of speech is used in other psalms, but it's also the same word, the same word picture that Jesus uses when he desired to show his love and care for Jerusalem in Matthew 23. And okay, let's continue on. They have closed their unfeeling hearts. Wrapping up here. And David here begins to describe the enemies who oppressed him so. They were insensitive and spoke proudly. He says, arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low. David declared his dependence on God to protect him. It wasn't because David was afraid, you know, of these enemies like lions and all these things. Remember, David as a young boy, he bested both the bear and the lion. Remember 1 Samuel 17. It was because, again, David needed to see his enemy defeated by the hand of God, not the hand of David. Again, this psalm really has no firm connection in any particular recorded event in David's life, but most likely it belongs to the long period when Saul hunted for David. Remember, during that time, David refused to strike out against Saul when he had the opportunity because he knew that God must strike against Saul and not David himself. And so he says something interesting. He says, deliver my soul from the wicked, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. David recognized that one characteristic of his enemies is they look more to this life than it did to the life to come. They live in a temporal way. This is what allows us to live differently because we're living for eternity. And then he cries out, as for me, David here sets himself in contrast to his enemies who look only to this life and not to eternity. He says, I will behold your face. David was confident that not only of life after death, but he would one day see the face of God. The idea was not merely a temporary contract with God, but a really unhindered fellowship with the Lord. And he says, and I will behold your face in righteousness. The idea that David would have a righteousness that would enable him to see the face of God, to have this relationship. And of course, this is only made available in Jesus Christ. And he says, I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. This David knew that the transition from this life to the next was like waking. He knew that the world beyond was more real and more dreamlike than our own world that we live in. And it's interesting that, and he says, I will be satisfied with thy likeness. He basically prophesied something that Paul would write 1,000 years later in Romans 8:29. So it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. The destiny of God's people is to be conformed to the image of God as perfectly displayed in Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. Wow, powerful. So let's close our eyes. So we're going to enter into a time of worship. Let's close our eyes and let's just meditate on that. Brothers and sisters, you are the apple of his eye. And he's hiding you under the shadow of his wings, like a mother tending the brood and protecting them. And so just let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let the Holy Spirit really whisper into your hearts and really draw you close to him. Let's allow the Spirit to really allow us to feel his affection. You are so precious, but also so fragile. And you need to be protected. You need to be covered. That's who we are. That's who I am. We may feel strong, but we know we're not. We're precious, but easily broken. And so let's pray for God's protection over us. Let's pray that we would understand how beloved and how precious that we are. And let's meditate on that as we sing to the Lord.
Under the shadow of your wings, here in the secret place of your holiness, I will wait on you, O Lord, my God and King. Here in the holiest of all, you draw me near with love to abandon all for the sake of knowing you, my God and King. Hide me in the shelter of your love, deep in the center of your heart, my Lord, how I want to know you more. And keep me in the shadow of your wings, safe in the secret place of holiness, how I need you more and more. Under the shadow of your wings, here in the secret place of your holiness, I will wait on you, O Lord, my God and King. Here in the holiest of all, you draw me near with love to abandon all sake of knowing you, my God and King. Hide me in the shelter of your love, deep in the center of your heart, my Lord, how I want to know and keep me in the shadow of your wings, safe in the secret place of holiness. How I need you more and more and more and more, and hide me in the shelter of your love, deep in the center of your heart, my Lord. How I want to know you more. And keep me in the shadow of your wings, safe in the secret place of holiness. How I need you more and more and more and more. Under the shadow, under the shadow of your wings, here in the secret place of your holiness, I will wait on you, O Lord my God and King.
Well, let's just meditate, you know, on the passage, on the song. Let's ask God to continue to hide us in the shelter of his love. Let's ask the Lord to show us that we really are precious and we really are the apple of his eye. Can we just take a moment and let's just reflect on that truth. Let's go to our prayers for our community. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community. They're battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask the Lord to continue to move over our city. Let's pray that the cases will be low, so a lot of different things can open up on Thursday. Let's continue to lift up the government. You know, they have to make very difficult decisions during this time. Can we especially pray for the Education Bureau that they would just really walk in a lot of wisdom? I think some of the things that they're asking for is a little out of bounds in some way. And so let's just really, just for humility and for common sense to really be upon those people that are making these decisions when we're dealing with school and those things. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering in the city, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Let's lift up our city right now. Let's lift up our staff. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us to bring the unity of the Spirit. Today is actually an off day for the staff because they're usually off days on Monday. And so Monday's a holiday. So today's off. And so let's pray that the staff would get rest and be with family and really enjoy this break of today. Well, let's just really lift them up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista, even though their work is minimal during this time. Let's pray that people would continue to be prepared, and when we do get back online or in person, that the ministries would just flow and cater to people's needs. Let's pray for our worship sound and our EV teams. Let's pray for our worship leaders, and as they continue to lead us into worship, let's pray the presence of God would really flow. Let's pray for our sound, all of our equipment, and our EV team, that we would really bring a very wonderful product, is worth saying that, but that people can really draw close to God during our Sunday and our services. And let's pray for House Church that potentially are meeting tonight. Chiaiti, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, Asta House, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, Princeton. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to empower us, to fill each of our members with the Spirit, and that they would really draw close to the Lord and each other tonight. Let's lift up. Man, let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that that we are the apple of your eye, that we are hidden under your wings, God, that you cover us, Lord, that we are precious, Lord, but also fragile. And we recognize that, God, and we need your protection. And so just even as the eye, Lord, the pupil of the eye is so protected, would you come and protect us, God? And help us first and foremost to know, Lord, that we are so loved by you. Let those thoughts and that idea permeate our mind, our thoughts today as we run hard after you, God. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Lord, just watch over us today, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, right? And we'll see you tomorrow as we go through hearing the word. We go through our Lent devotionals. And so we'll see you. Don't forget to download the app and get ready for that. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay? Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you. Bye.